nation safe and protect the freedoms that we have. We acknowledge their sacrifices and the sacrifices of their family. We thank those of you that served as well, anyone that served in the military. Kids, do you want to go to children's church now? You can go with Bev. Have fun. So today is also Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to go back nearly 2,000 years ago. We're going to time travel, if you will. And we are all sitting in the upper room together. We are followers of Jesus. We had seen him in a crowd and heard someone say, "He is the Messiah." We listened to his teachings and watched him do miracles. And there were so many miracles, weren't there? He healed people that one day that we were following him, he even raised a man from the dead. Everybody was talking about that, weren't they? Remember that day that we were in the synagogue and someone read from the scroll that the prophet Joel wrote, and it said, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people." We all wondered what that meant. And then Jesus was crucified, and we were so confused. Jesus said that was the plan, but how could it be the plan? The persecution of believers makes us all afraid. Should we hide? What will happen now? And then, after Jesus was laid in the tomb, Mary Magdalene, she came running up, and she's out of breath, and she said, "He is alive. Our precious rabbi was alive again." And so we were sitting in this locked room, and it was like Jesus just walked through the wall, and he was there amongst us, and he spent time with us. And then Jesus said these curious words, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And then Jesus ascended to heaven as we watched. He was taken up and he was received in a cloud. And so here we are, all 120 of us. We're sitting in this upper room and we are praying. We have no expectation of what will happen next. We're just praying and praying. Now all of a sudden, there is the sound of from heaven. It's like a mighty wind. A mighty wind which is filling the house. Do you hear it? I've never heard the wind inside the house before. It looks like tongues of fire are sitting upon each of our heads. It's on you and on you and on you. And as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, each of us is beginning to speak with other tongues. I don't know what we're saying. It's like God himself is moving our mouths. I feel amazing joy. I mean, such incredible joy. It's like I'm even just laughing in the spirit. Now, outside this building, just out there, There are devout men from different nations that have assembled in Jerusalem. And they are so confused right now because everyone hears us speaking in their different languages. And they say, don't these people speak Galilean? How is it that we hear each of our own language in this from where we were born? What does this mean? Some people are mocking us right now. They're saying we are drunk. Oh, Peter, he just went out and he's standing up for us. And he said, we are not drunk. And that this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Peter is telling them about Jesus. He just said that God that made Jesus, whom they crucified, he made him both Lord and Christ. And so the men are now asking, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So 3,000 people are accepting Jesus today, and they're going to get baptized. Today is such a wonderful day. I had no idea what would happen when I woke up this morning. And look what God has done. After receiving the Holy Spirit, the first Christians went out to the world and they became his witnesses by proving in their daily lives what Jesus had taught them. They shared the good news that God had sent his son to teach us to pay the debt for our sins and to restore our relationship with God. And the world has never been the same. In the New King James Version of Acts 17:6, some of the Jews called the Christians those who have turned the world upside down. Those that have turned the world upside down. I love that. People who opposed them saw the power that the Holy Spirit brought. Jesus promised we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And I think the word power could be used for ability. God will give us whatever ability we need to obey the Lord's commands. Now, because a prominent aspect of the Holy Spirit is signs and wonders, many people limit the ministry of the Spirit to what we would call supernatural, when in fact, he helps us in the natural areas of our lives as well as our ministry. And isn't that just such a human thing that we do, that we try and put God in a box, and we say, okay, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do. This is the realm that in which he works. But we can't put God in a box. In 1 Corinthians 12, it tells us that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, all of these gifts are the work of the same Spirit, and he gives them as he wishes, right? And he can give one gift to you and a different gift to me. And we can just be satisfied in what God thinks that we need, as far as giftings go. And next week, I want to spend more time and focus in on these beautiful gifts and how we can use them, how we can use them in our church and in our community and in our lives. But can you be Christian and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And yes, of course you can. Now, we all have the Holy Spirit at the exact moment we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. This spiritual indwelling marks the beginning of our new life. This is why we call it that we're born again. It just starts our whole life over. Well, not over, but gives us a new life. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like an extension of this. The sign of this baptism is speaking in tongues, just like they did in that upper room. And that is a beautiful prayer language between you and God. The Holy Spirit can pray through you what is needed. And I described it like this when I was teaching in Nepal. We are to be the light of the world. We are to show the light of Christ. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like receiving a supercharged battery. And it makes our light so much brighter. The Holy Spirit is the one who draws people to Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us the right words to say when we need them. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and knowledge. The Holy Spirit can give us a prophecy to say at the right time. So why would we want to minister without those gifts? Because on our own, we don't have those gifts. The Holy Spirit brings all of these things. And our friend Nate, Dan and I have this friend, and he's also a missionary. And he had this beautiful way of explaining our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to spend time with the Holy Spirit and know him like a very close friend. Like, we need to know more about him. We need to hear from him. We need to treat the Holy Spirit with reverence, and we need to learn to recognize when he's prompting us. We need to learn to work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. I think that cooperation is really important, and that also includes obedience. And when our ministry is submitted to him, that is when we see real power and transformation. And sometimes it can be simple things. This isn't in my notes, but this just came to my mind. I have an aunt, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and like she might be in the grocery store. This has happened to her before. And the Holy Spirit will say, pay for this family's groceries. And she doesn't know why. She doesn't know what that might mean to that family. She doesn't know what their needs are. But she has learned that when the Holy Spirit asks her to do something, she doesn't question it if it's within her means, which the Holy Spirit isn't going to ask her to do something that's not in her means. But she just does it. And she obeys immediately. And I think sometimes I need that immediate obedience. Sometimes I think the Holy Spirit prompts me to do something, and I hesitate. I'm like, oh, is that going to be weird? Well, it's not about me. He needs my immediate obedience. Because there have been times where I've gotten home, and I'm like, ah, I think I was supposed to do this, and I didn't. And that always feels like a disappointment to me. Pentecostal could be summarized in one word as dependent. Because we believe the divine activity of the Holy Spirit is as real today as it was in the book of Acts, we can depend on the Holy Spirit in virtually every area of our life. The Blessed Helper is always present. The Holy Spirit guides us and motivates us and brings assurance and enables us to obey our Lord's commands. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says that his divine power was granted to each of us pertaining to our life and godliness. The Holy Spirit was outpoured at Pentecostal nearly 2,000 years ago, but we need his continual, fresh inpouring of our lives today. Just like that song said, we just need that fresh fire. And the Holy Spirit is still moving powerfully in the midst of people. Maybe some of you have felt the Holy Spirit move powerfully in a church service. I think some of you have traveled to where revival was happening at another church. I think some of us have talked about that. And I think that revival comes with repentance and surrender. And once Dan and I, we were in Nepal, and we're in Kathmandu, and it's kind of a large church, and the Nepali pastor, he asked at the end of the service, he's like, if any of you want to come forward for prayer, you can come now. And Dan and I, we understood enough Nepali, we knew what he was asking, and 50 people, at least 50 people, stood up and all came forward in this little tiny church. It would be like trying to put 50 people right here. And then the pastor said that he wanted all of the missionaries to come forward. And there was a group of about 10 of us that had attended that church service that day. And so the 10 of us came forward, and so that gave us, like, each about 5 people to lay hands on. He'd asked us to lay hands and pray for people. And so we're doing that. And all of a sudden, I hear, kind of quiet, someone speaking in tongues. I hear it. And then I hear a few more people, and then a few more people. And it's really quiet. And it's just kind of moving amongst all the people that were there. And then it kind of gets louder and a little bit louder. And I can't even explain it. It was like the air kind of like felt powerful. And then there was like this stirring in our hearts. And later when the missionaries came together, we talked about that service. And we had all felt it. We had all felt God just move through the church, through the prayer time, through these people. People cried. It was intense. It was a very intense feeling. It was a very personal feeling. And it would be impossible for me to doubt the existence of the Holy Spirit after what we experienced that day. God moved. And we all felt his love in a very genuine way. In a few minutes, I'm going to give you the opportunity for anyone who has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come forward. And this is not something to be afraid of. Our Heavenly Father only gives us good gifts. The Bible reassures us by saying, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those of you who ask? And the first step is always to be obedient to God, to say, okay, God, use me how you want to use me. Draw me closer to you. Teach me more about you. Where you lead, I'm going to follow. And sometimes obedience feels scary. But God always meets us just right where we are when we seek him. And this morning, if you would like to be closer to God, I ask you to step forward. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then start seeking that. If you have walked away a bit from God, you've kind of distanced yourself. You've been distracted by other things. And you want that closeness again. You want God to just draw you back. Then I say, come forward. And for you who have already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, lay hands on people and pray for them to receive what they're asking for. And I say, don't be ashamed. Let the Holy Spirit come into our midst today. Come seek a fresh encounter with the Lord. Don't be afraid to come forward and pray. And God will meet you with whatever you need. Dan, can we have a little bit of music? I'm going to pray. And if you want to come forward and pray, just come forward. And if you are praying for someone else, ask them what they're seeking. Don't just assume. If they're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then pray for them with that. If they're seeking something else, ask them, and so that you can join together in prayer. But I do say, don't be ashamed. Don't be fearful. Don't worry about what other people will think. This is between you and God. And there's something beautiful about coming forward and just surrendering to God and say, God, I want more of you today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know our hearts today. We seek you. Let us feel the Holy Spirit move in this place. May we come forward with an expectation to feel your love and your power today. God, awaken something in us that may have fallen asleep. Jesus said that anyone who is ashamed of him or denies him before others will also be denied by him in heaven. We are not ashamed of you, God. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to feel the Holy Spirit wash over us like a wave today. We thank you, dear God. We thank you for your great love for us. And that you want to spend time with us. Dear God, if there is someone today who is wondering about receiving the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, dear God, I just ask that you reassure them. It is not something to be afraid of. It's a beautiful gift from you. Dear God, touch our hearts today. Dear God, we are in awe of you, in awe of your power and of your gentleness. How you move like a rushing wind and with fire and power. And yet we feel your joy and your peace. We thank you, dear God. Dear God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit touch us. Let us just feel your warmth today. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for your love and for your mercy. Dear God, we thank you for your patience with us. You know what we need, and you know when we need it. Dear God, we just ask that we are obedient to you. We are obedient to your Holy Spirit. Like if you prompt us to do something, we say, okay, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to do it. Because I know you have a plan. We thank you, dear God. Sometimes we don't like silence. But it's okay just to wait on the Holy Spirit, to linger for a moment. To sit in His presence, feel His peace. Thank you, dear God. Dear God, I just ask that you bless this church, to bless your people. As we remember what happened on Pentecost Sunday in that upper room, let that fire burn in our hearts as well. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you. May the Holy Spirit go with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.